like the fact that instead of singing in verse 8, "Thy nature, gracious Lord, impart," why do they have to do it? Are people ashamed of using terms of affection publicly to Jesus? Why did they put gracious instead of dearest? What's wrong? You know, when I was a child, they taught me and I learned a lovely hymn. And it got one of the verses in it. It goes like this: "Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom my hopes of heaven depend. Nay, when I blush, be this my shame, that I no more revere thy name." You see, beloved, they're expunging, they're doing it steadily over the years. They're taking from us the precious, precious love of Jesus. They don't want it expressed. They don't want human beings to expose their hearts. They wanted Jesus to expose his and bleed it out on the cross. They wanted that. But to get a company together and sing, "Dearest Lord," oh no, we'll change that to "Gracious." "Dearest Lord, take the love out of it all and it's all dead. Take the love away and you've got religion." Whether in Christianity, and sure enough, when I was moving abroad in India, this was one of the things of it all. Death, 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 death. With all their pet idols and the way they went. And we're turning Jesus Christ into an idol if we're not careful. It's passionate, pure heart devotion to Jesus. And if you're ashamed to let other people see it, then you be careful. Jesus Christ isn't ashamed of you. Don't keep counting on his grace if you won't let him reach the kernel of your heart to make you love. Don't count on it. God isn't just interested in keeping people out of hell. He wants to fill his throne and his new Jerusalem and his new earth with marvelous lovers. Amen. That's what he's after. Lovers. Total lovers. Amen. You tell me if human life's worth living without love. You tell me. How many people have told me that they've taken overdoses or put their heads in a gas oven because nobody loves them? Or so they think. Glory be to God. Sit down, I'm going to talk to you for 5 minutes. I'm not preaching to you this morning, it's Norman's turn again. But this is it, beloved. Listen. As sure as you sang in that first hymn, "The Great Discovery," thy name is love, thy nature and thy name is love. Tis love, tis love. Thou diedst for me. You see, but if you just say, "Jesus died for me," and leave out the "tis love" bit, you're nearly certain to be on the wrong road from the start. And it'll become a dreary religion to you ere you've known it 12 months. You'll not be able to be the person you want to be. It will not give you the satisfaction and comfort that it should. It won't bring you the joy. Even all the promised joys of the Bible, unless you realize the totality of the love of Jesus to you and the totality of the implications of it. For love is expressed for one purpose only, and that is to have love coming back to reciprocate it. That's what it's all about. Praise God that love should beget love, you see. Tis love, tis love. I hear thy whisper in my heart. The morning breaks, the shadows flee. Pure, universal love thou art to me. To all thy bowels move. Thy nature and thy name is love. And unless you sing what this hymn says, this second hymn, for instance, I don't want to preach from a hymn book, But let's know what we're singing. A heart, verse 4 of hymn number 76, a heart in every thought renewed and full of love divine, perfect and right and pure and good, a copy, Lord, of thine. You see? Now, unless you've got through to that, all the gospel you've heard so far has been preparatory. Amen. Everything that's happened to you thus far from the Lord has been preparatory to this, that you should have, in answer to the heart of Jesus, a heart of love for Him. A perfect heart, a heart that's been readjusted. A heart that has been changed eternally by the power of God. A heart that has had its basic laws of life changed. Amen. So that patterns of behavior change. Unless your patterns of behavior have changed, you've never had a heart change. I will repeat that. Unless your patterns of behavior in both your animal, if I may say that, and your mental and your spiritual life have taken a change, altered by law from within, under the dominance of the power of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, then you've never had a heart change. The whole secret of it is that God does not start at the beginning, at the outside, and after about 30 years works through to the center of you and manages to change you there. He starts at the center and He works out from there into everything. That's the secret of it all. The great heart change. The nature change. The personality change. The life change. The eternal change. Glory be to God. Everything is patterned on the behavior of Jesus Christ as a man on the earth. New patterns of behavior. Oh, glory. So that a man or a woman will become as predictable as God. Most people think that God's unpredictable. That's because they don't know Him. You can predict God. You know what God will do in a certain circumstance. You see, it was said under the old covenant. I should be preaching if I'm not careful. It was said under the old covenant that God made known His acts unto the children of Israel. He made known His ways unto Moses. And people preach on that text. Lots of people, nearly everybody preaches from the Old Testament in its ideology and the construction of their sermons. They're nearly all preaching from an Old Testament based theology. And given it the name of Jesus Christ, of course. What they're doing, what they're being, is Bible preachers. And God bless them. But you've got to be Jesus preachers. That's vastly different. And the whole trouble is that they say, well, now you see, He made known His acts unto the children of Israel. That is, for instance, He split the Red Sea wide open, and He showed them a way through the Red Sea, and they gathered on the shores of the Red Sea. Let's just take this tremendous illustration. And they saw Pharaoh and all his hosts dead in the sea. They got out their tambourines and they danced and they sang, and it was wonderful because they'd seen a mighty act of God. A miracle. But Moses, he got into sort of talking face to face with the Lord, and God, the Lord made known His ways. to Moses. You see? And you could spend a lovely Sunday morning preaching that and still be in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Lord makes you know Him, not just His ways or even His acts. You see? He makes you know Him, whom to know is life eternal. Oh, glory. And here's old Paul. He knew God's ways. He knew God's acts. My, if anybody had, it was Paul. He says, "Ooh, that I might know Him." That's right. It's Him. 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 And knowing Him, beloved, is being brought into the secret of the Trinity. For it's only in the Trinity that they knew one another. Father knew the Son. Son knows the Father. In intimacy of life. Shared eternal life. Glory. We seek to reproduce it on earth by marriage and families. So that we know one another. In intimacy of personal relationship. In there, to know Him. And knowing, I can only describe this, beloved, is not just a witness of Him doing a mighty act, or being able to predict some of His ways, but to be in that, the only way I can describe it is that, right. You know with an inward ooh. You know Him. And your nature and your name has got to become love. That's what it's all about. Your nature and your name. How are you going to describe that man? Oh, he's all love. That's right. What's his nature? I don't know, he seems to love naturally. That's right. It isn't an effort he puts on. It isn't an attitude he adopts. It just is. Now you've arrived. This isn't set as a goal to achieve in about 45 years of dogged slogging on the earth. Maturity and perfection in it, yes, that's marvelous. You've got to go on. You've got to grow. It's got to consume you. It's got to become the theme of your preaching. It's got to become the motive of all your ministry. It's got to become the power and mainspring of your being. It is the natural state of basic righteousness that's in you. That's right. That God has rectified your being and taken out the curse of sin and taken out the predestination to it. For sin is predestination to hell. It's the devil's wish and foreknowledge brought into the human race via the first Adam. But holiness and love are the predestination states on earth brought into the human race by the last Adam. There's no one else going to bring a predestiny into the race. It's all done. Praise God. And you in this, beloved, should develop and grow and mature and become perfect in its ministrations whilst you are on this earth until the trumpet blows. Amen. Now, aren't you thrilled about that? I'm finished my sermon, Norman, so it's all right. Aren't you thrilled about that?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Well, somebody nodded and somebody said, yes. Yeah. Sets you free, says Jesus. He was talking to me a little bit about that in my room this morning. Wouldn't it be good if we all got up and said what Jesus had said to us this morning? He said to me, I didn't read this. This is what you've got to do with your Bibles. You've got to read them and read them so much that you don't have to open them in order to read them. That's right. Tomorrow or tonight, we're hoping to have here dear Brother Cherian from India. He's going to speak to us, I trust. He doesn't know what he's coming to. You. And out in India, I came to a place at the time, you know what I say, most of you who know me say now, when you come to the meetings, whatever else you do, bring your Bibles. You see? And I said this, because I couldn't see many people with Bibles, you see. And I thought, bring your Bibles, you see? I thought, well, I don't know. They must be pretty dead out here. But they didn't bring their Bibles because they knew them. How about that? You know, they knew them. That's the Indian. They sit down and they read and they reread and they learn everything by copying. You know that, don't you? Don't you know that in India? It's all done by repetition. You can walk by the Indian schools and you can hear one great beat note coming out. Because if you knew the sort of Indian language, you'd understand what they were saying. Everything's done by repetition. You see? Education is is compulsory in India, but you don't have to send your children. But it's compulsory on the statute book. And they all go and they learn by repetition. They learn by reading and repeating. Same with the Bible. Supposing I said that in your spare moments during this week, you learn Psalm 119, and we'll all repeat it together on Friday night. Supposing I did, you'd say, he's got some hopes. But that's how they do it out there. You see? Anyway, to come back. This morning I was reading in John 8 without opening my Bible. That's what you've got to be able to do. And the Lord brought again to my heart that marvelous thing that he said. He spoke, you remember, to those Jews which believed on him. You'll read it there. I won't tell you which verse. And he said, you must believe. I'm taking out the bones of it. You must put the flesh round it. You must believe. And you must follow. You must know, and then you'll be free. Can you read those verses now? I've just given you the bones of it. There it is. Believe. Follow. Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Here you are. Believe, follow, know, liberty. Isn't it marvelous? Isn't it simple? You see, these are divine laws. And God will bring you into it all.